Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, MJ.
Hi, Marie.
And hi, listeners. Welcome to the finale episode for this season of Dispatches from the Kardashian Simulacrum,
where we process our media theory takeaways and other hot takes from this week's Kardashian content.
Yes, and this week's Kardashian content was the finale episode of the Kardashian season 4.
Yeah.
Some interesting moments, not much.
Well, let's pause to notice that we've said that about most episodes this season.
Dude, for sure. I mean, it's just like imagery. It's all just imagery at this point, but it's just like you say, it's connective tissue. So if we're in the business of like analyzing the Kardashians for the sake of media literacy, it's still, there's nuggets, there's text.
But beyond that, I think for me, a revelation in this season of our conversations was that they are not actually asserting distinct value between their high or big or more what you would want to say are valuable storylines or images, and then the ones that are more casual, like things that were maybe would have once been explosive in a tabloid headline, are given as much space as some dumb shit that's just filler. You know what I mean? Like, they have accepted the premise that it's all a postmodern soup.
Mm-hmm. But, like, what do you think? What am I trying to say? Like, is that a consolation? Is that the right word? Is that like them?
Compensating?
No, accepting that? Or is that them, like, working with it in hopes of benefiting from it?
I don't know. I'm just noticing it and I'm intrigued by it. And I don't have an answer yet, but I think it's something that is real and worth actually exploring because I think it speaks to a real truth, a bigger truth about media.
Right. We're noticing.
We're still in the noticing phase, but I the fact that there's as much value on Kim starring in American Horror Story as there is on a stupid little fake storyline about Kris Jenner being bossy or whatever, or the pseudo event of Scott's 40th birthday, which we'll get into in this episode, where it's a regal theme. But it's like, actually, there was some real substance to Kim starring in American Horror Story, just in the sense that the whole world kind of knew it was an assertion from her about like her plan to scale her image, whereas Scott's birthday doesn't really matter, but as much space as being given to both scenes. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I think what you're honing in on is that every single parcel of imagery that's given is a medium for some kind of information. So like in Scott's birthday, the function of that scene was really to remind you that Kim went from K9 magazine to Vogue.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So let's go through and just sort of say what happened first.
Okay, so we start with a birthday, kind of a weird, lonely birthday for Scott.
Scott's turning 40. They theme the birthday around what his image once was, Lord Disick. That was such a thing. He kind of like had a early on Kardashian sensibility by branding himself with like a tongue-in-cheek thing, like early Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I'm the Lord. I'm drunk. It's this highbrow, lowbrow thing. And so they gave him a theme birthday. Right off the bat, it was a classic forced Kardashian party in their backyard, transforming the backyard into a world. And the party is really to create a scene for the show. I was struck, though, by the fact that, I mean, I think everyone is every time Scott is on screen, like how not okay he is. And they put a crown and a cape on him at one point. And the lack of energy, like the fact that he didn't keep it on, it was immediately, he took it right off. Old Scott would have like had a, made a bit with the crown. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I mean, I wonder if the behind the scenes was like, Scott's not okay. Let's mm-hmm. put him on the season and like make him okay.
I weirdly have the feeling that it's their way of taking care of Scott. In a way, and you know, we don't like to go too into this kind of speculation, but we're not seeing Rob because Rob is not okay. Rob can't handle it. And Rob is also a liability to the brand. On another side of the coin, we're seeing Scott because Scott is part of the ensemble, part of the cast. We used to joke, you know, that Scott mm-hmm. was the MVP. Like he brought something very real to the table, but he also knew how to kind of MC things, play a Colo-esque mm-hmm. role in like moderating moments. And bringing some creativity and freshness and like spice to moments. So I think their version of taking care of Scott is including him. I think they also heard all the audience feedback. People were like, where's Scott? Where's Rob? They brought Scott back. They're not going to bring Rob back, at least not anytime soon. And I had the feeling he felt cared about to be included in a scene. Because basically the point is, he was so involved before that this is almost like bringing someone who does need help into the routine they once knew with you as a family. You know what I mean?
Right, for sure. No, that's what I figured it probably was. It's like, mm-hmm. this is Scott's, because Scott actually knows how to be part of the fabric so well, it's almost like a way to animate him and mm-hmm. activate him and get him to start, you know, proverbially working out again.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, I've noticed in the past few episodes, maybe you have too, that like they keep, especially Chloe, talking about their ages, their decades, as though their lives do existentially switch with the switch of the age. So like she keeps being like, I'm jealous Scott's 40. Like my 30s were rough. Like I can't wait to be 40.
Right.
I do appreciate actually the way that they're reframing certain stigmas around age. Like obviously they're doing it in a self-serving way because they want to tell us age doesn't matter, because if we accept that, then they can keep selling to us. But
right.
I actually have found, again, as like a therapist, the same way there were eras in my work with people where the Kardashians were once referenced as figures of catharsis for eating disorders, mm-hmm. which Gen Z would never be able to understand. Same with the aging. I've had people talk about how it actually does make the Kardashians are like reference points for why they don't have to be sad about aging, which is ironic because obviously they're making themselves ageless using surgeries and things we don't have, like the average person doesn't have access to, and probably all kinds of like biohacking and shit. But like, nevertheless, that is a discourse.
In the sense that mythology can guide people, it's yeah. that. It's like, oh, I've heard stories of 40-year-olds having a new law in life, and right. that is encouraging to me. Whether, you know, the mechanisms of that can be repeated in regular yeah. life, that's not really the point of a mythology.
Great point.
It kind of sums up their whole project, honestly, yes. because it's like the way they go about it is – like underworld shit, but yes. like the stories they're telling are, you know, fun and flashy and
memorable.
People listen. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually the point. It, like the way a myth would work is that the details are kind of compressed into the impressionistic important takeaways and like the morals at the right. end, you know,
right.
and the archetypes that are driving these like little lessons. And so that there is a certain like myth of agelessness, if you set your mind to it, that's problematic in action and has fucked the masses up. But that's, there's still things that people might want to take from it to find empowerment in or whatever. And so given that's how they're kind of operating about age, it's interesting that they're, and then I think it like synthesizes with this like way that they must relate to space and time because they tell their stories seasonally. Mm-hmm. So this idea of like, it all will change once I go from 39 to 40. You know what I mean? There's no actual like threshold.
No, exactly. You don't wake up like with a different wiring in your brain or a different X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
But for them, it's like it'll usher in a new set of stories.
Right. By force of
for
will.
For us. So yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So you why don't you talk a little bit about, well, first of all, the wild shit Kim said about, look at where we are today. Like looking around this table, people dressed up as kings and queens. Like we scammed the system. Let's talk about it. So on the nose.
So on the nose. People are obviously going to be talking about it. And I honestly think it's literally the function of that scene. Like yes. Scott's weird fake birthday. His kids weren't even there. That wasn't a real birthday. Yeah. That was at like somebody else's house. Like
yeah.
that was just a fun setting for a little nugget
mm-hmm.
to be reinforced of, wow, look where we are. Here's a few quotes. We scanned the system. And then Scott says, can you believe you did it? And she goes, I can't. It's crazy. We weren't the cool kids.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime they cut to some kind of B-roll, it's like you can know that that was the function of the scene.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's usually them offhandedly referencing something, which is kind of like brilliant as far as manipulating an audience, because yes. You can't imagine that would be the function of a scene that looks completely different.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But yes. Like that totally was a function. So that it cuts to her being like, my first cover was K9 magazine. Remember that, guys? And now here we are.
She loves to reference the K9 magazine. She did that with Paris Hilton too.
It continues a theme of like moments that are supposed to be for other people, celebratory moments that are supposed to be for other people that end up just being scenes about Kim and for Kim.
To like move the Kim myth forward. Yeah. Totally. And Scott's a safe person to do that with because he has been there from the start and he's always willing to give her flowers. He always for is. Sure. He's been that's another Scott MVP kind of like function. Like I can't cite specific examples right now offhand, but like I believe Scott feels the true marvel of what they've done because he was there from literally like episode 2, season 1.
Right.
But like Scott also knows that he was instrumental to it. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like a Mario or Chris, the hairdresser type of thing where it's like, no, there's pride in this. I helped make this happen.
Yeah. Also to that point of that scene existing at all so that Kim can say the things in reminiscing with Scott about where they started, where they are now. The fact is, like, when we say it's on the nose that they were not the cool kids, that they scammed the system, it's tough because she's situating herself still as an underdog. And it's hard to hear a billionaire view themselves as an underdog.
Right.
But it's true that no one wanted Kim to be successful. People still don't want Kim to be successful. So she is saying what is true.
For sure.
So even though she is not actually an underdog technically anymore. So they got to where they are by not fighting the hate, which is something that everyone knows. But like there's different mm-hmm. ways into like understanding what that means. Sometimes it's a recognition that hate means engagement, which means intention, which means capital. Sometimes it's also recognizing kind of that like the fact that they don't kick and scream against the negative narratives or against the underdog label. It reflects like a self-awareness about their role that then they can work. I don't know.
Well, why is there a power to that? Maybe that right. would help you answer that question.
That something about being able to identify it, admit it, recognize it, and then remain resilient is more powerful than exhausting yourself fighting it and pretending it's not true.
It's like sticks and stones mm-hmm. may break my bones vibes. You know, mm-hmm. like that makes you stronger.
It kept her quick on her feet to keep moving forward.
Yeah, she wasn't being like sucked in. It's like the age old thing of what your mom says about the bullies.
Right.
You know, don't engage. You're better off.
It is like a fable. It's another like fable. It's another part of the myth. And they tell us all the time that that's how they see it and that's how they do it. But they may be telling the truth in that sense, even though it gets into territory of like, well, be careful believing those like little like, you know, moments of advice because it goes into American bootstrap sort of thinking. But also,
well, we're talking about the myth again of it.
Yes, the myth of it.
It's always been the age-old thing of like, ignore the bully, don't engage with the haters, you'll be happier, you'll be healthier, just keep on forward.
Yeah.
And it's not letting those energies like bring you down. I mean, it's just like simple at a certain point.
And I guess the lesson in it too is like, maybe as consumers, it's better to like not invest in underestimating people for your own emotions as consumers and be aware that like anything can happen. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. We can flip it to be conscious consumers where it's like, don't take the bait of every single piece of content that you're given.
Yes.
Basically what we're like honing in on, we've kind of like beaten a dead horse, but I think it's because we're trying to figure it out ourselves.
Yes.
I think it just is intriguing to us because it's like words to live by in the digital age.
Yeah.
They are icons of ignoring the haters.
Oh my gosh, correct. And also, it just made me think a little bit more about like why Kim chose the word we scammed the system rather than hacked the system. Because what I would say is they hacked the system with these things, with employing like a sticks and stones approach,
mm-hmm.
committing to the underdog role rather than fighting it, all of that. That's hacking. That's like a larger view. That's a very narrative view of media. That's a very like high level view of how it would work to kind of rise in the ranks of all this. And
very Mr. Robot.
It is very. And so I guess scam is a interchangeable word, I suppose, to hacked, but I feel like there's also still like an underdog connotation to scam or something. Right. Or there's like that whole, you know, the past few years of like girl boss scammers, like they're careful with their words. Yeah.
Hacking requires education.
Yes.
Formal education.
No, scamming is more
feminized. Scamming requires street smarts. Which, yes. I mean, in reality, there's no more or less dignity to those things, but it's like...
No, the connotations. There's class and gender connotations with scamming versus hacking.
For sure.
Wow. Oh, semiotics.
Crazy. Okay, so next we see Chris, Courtney, Chloe on a tour bus going to San Diego for a Blink-182 concert, and it is Chris's first time seeing Blink-182 in concert, as it is Chloe's.
A few things. The whole thing was like, Chris is miffed because Courtney like wants to go forth with all these narratives, these storylines, without basically checking with her. Like, she puts up the Travis I'm pregnant poster without notifying Chris. She plans a last minute gender reveal without telling Chris. So like, that's like the tension. But it's also like Chris like being like kind of like an older lady on a tour bus and being like telling the driver like, I'm confused why we're going here instead of there. And Chris's vibes were funny. We saw touches of Chris and Chloe as Big and Little Edie on the bus. Like, we saw how Chloe's an MVP in terms of just being chill when everyone else, there's a lot of like personalities and egos between Courtney and Chris.
Ultimately, it was just like, yay, they went to the concert, whatever. Chris is being kind of like a meddling older mom in certain scenes. And then once they get to the house they're going to stay at for the party, they have like a mother-daughter trio talk.
Oh, yeah.
Courtney does all this therapy speak about generational trauma.
Right. When they're sitting and talking about generational trauma, and Courtney is like definitely like triggering and annoying everyone with like her kind of like righteous therapy speak, she shares an anecdote of like, I don't remember if it was a meme or a tweet, that I remember seeing it too. It was very viral about like, isn't it crazy that like your eggs were already in you when your mom carried you? So like, you're just like some egg thing that's like really nauseating. Everyone, all the responses to it were like, ew. It had an effect if it made its way to Kourtney Kardashian. It's so funny because like, I'm pretty sure, I think, I don't know for sure, that this like egg thing that she was telling Chris and Chloe about is scientifically inaccurate or not. I think I sent it to you.
Isn't it true that you have all the eggs you're going to have in you upon birth? I feel like that part's true, but maybe like some of the other shit she was saying wasn't true.
So the eggs don't like regenerate?
No, I think you kind of like have them. I think that's like the reason you got to like freeze them.
That makes me want to throw up, actually. Now I remember why that tweet hit everyone so hard. I don't think I understood. It's kind of sad we don't know anything about our own bodies, but...
No, that is really insane.
That shit's by design. Basically, okay, so Courtney's sharing the anecdote of this like kind of nauseating meme about eggs, being a baby in your mom's tummy with eggs, whatever. And it's funny to see that it got through to her because it was like a very like viral thing. But what I found to be poignant about it, beyond the fact that the power of the internet and the dissemination of information, no pun intended.
Oh my God, literally.
Is that... It spoke to the Kardashian matriarchy. What she's mapping out with this like kind of like maybe scientifically imprecise meme is what we are seeing with the begetting of female power through motherhood in the Kardashian clan.
For sure. I mean, it was kind of like we're tackling this postmodern phase that we're in as the Kardashians, and it's time to get into the like psychoanalytic framework of it.
Yes. Yes. Actually, okay, wait, and maybe I spoke.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Too soon. See, I bet it pleased everyone to hear me say that Courtney shared a scientifically inaccurate meme about eggs, but I'm looking at it right now. July 1st, 2022. So Scientific American put this out. They found a study. It suggested that trauma might have affected the mother's eggs decades before her children were conceived, while she herself was a child. So there is, like, obviously genetic inheritance in eggs and sperm. And so sometimes there's an idea that before conception, trauma can influence the uterine environment. So yeah, like, the egg thing might be, like, kind of real. So okay. How about that? Underdogs. We were like, it's dumb because it came from a Kardashian and because it came from a meme.
But it's true. I mean, I wonder if, like, when she says stuff like that, if they do actually have to fact check that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
In order to, like, what are the, like, liabilities there for them? If somebody, if a Kardashian is, like, on the show, just casually talking about a TikTok they saw, do they have to, like, fact check that, the producers?
I mean, not legally, but you would like, I mean, it is interesting to consider the possibility that they are, well, yeah, it's the question of, we know that the Kardashians are propagandists. But,
right. What are the limits? That's what I'm asking.
Into misinformation or disinformation.
And they're, like, skewing the truth a lot, but it is just an entertainment show. So, like, what's their responsibility?
Well, think about it. There was, like, literally, like, a reference to a TikTok. This was not uttered by a Kardashian, but, like, wasn't there a makeup artist that was like,
oh, yeah.
What was it?
The moon cycles, something about the moon cycles. And, dude, I don't fucking know, but it definitely was pseudoscience, too.
Okay, so the other thing I'll say about the storyline is, the, you know, the whole gang going to another Blink concert and the kind of, like, proximity to the coolness of Blink 182. Courtney's, like, in a, you know, she's, like, a backstage mom now, you know, and they're all putting on their, like, concert t-shirts to support Travis. It has, like, echoes of Kanye, you know. They love taking the show to his fashion shows and his concerts, and they really know how to leverage proximity to, like, a music auteur or icon.
For sure.
And I wonder if they would be even leveraging it more if Courtney didn't have this, like, desire for boundaries from the family, or if they also, they're now in this new phase of, like, again, everything is kind of, like, more soupy. I know I keep making that metaphor, but it's the best one I have. Like, whereas before it was like, Kanye is driving this, like, we're here, we're muses, Kanye's the auteur, and, like, that's the storyline. Now it's kind of like hodgepodge of imagery.
Right, for sure. And everyone's taken on a little piece of the archetypes. Like, they're making Kim into the visionary kind of now. And Courtney's got the music boyfriend, but she's also the, like, critic proxy. Like, I don't know. It's all soup now.
Exactly.
Okay, so that was the concert. Then we get to American Horror Story. I think it's interesting that they didn't explicitly say this, but if you've watched American Horror Story, they show the BTS of the scene that's supposed to be, like, Kim's Marilyn dress moment at the Met.
That's what I thought I was seeing, yeah.
But more importantly, there is a confessional where the producer's like, Kim, why did you sign up for American Horror Story? And Kim goes, because it's iconic, and I love to do iconic shit. So talk about on the nose. Talk about summing it right up for us. But that's funny. That's why it's interesting and significant that they never say the why. Kim is on the nose. Yeah, I love to do iconic shit. Why do you like to do iconic shit, Kim? Why do you keep opening fucking businesses and doing partnerships and breaking frontiers and all of that? Like, the why is the big question.
There has to be some kind of paradox. Like, I'm sure there's an existing paradox in philosophy, you know, like when you're not allowed to like answer a question with like the same words from the question and the answer kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like that.
Well, I think it's just kind of like no one's gonna say outright it's for power.
Right.
Especially as a woman.
And why can't we say that? What's scary? What's edgy? What's alienating about owning the wish to have power, to hoard power? Power is when you really like confront the idea that it's all about power for everyone, when for the bad things in the world, it's crazy. Yes.
No, it's really, really crazy. It's whoa-wee crazy. And it's everything. It is the so what. I always go back to this English teacher I had in 11th grade. And he's like, whenever you're writing an essay, always return to the question, so what? Okay, you made your assertion, but so what? Like, why do we care? Mm-hmm. And power is like the so what of fucking life, dude. And so mm-hmm. That's what's like so can't look away about the Kardashians.
That's the engine of it. Like, what would happen if Kim was like, oh yeah, like iconic shit matters because then there's power. What would happen? She might, honestly, dude, because they weren't always putting it so on the nose. They've always been like, it's all there. We do it on face value. Right. I think that's true. But the bigger it's gotten and the more they really name it, because there's more to name of like the different things they do. So that could be next that she's like, oh, I like power. Then fucking what? You know what I mean?
At a certain point, it's kind of like the soup thing again. Yes. It's like the Cardi being on Skims and then a week later, the soccer players. It's like the government saying aliens are real. Right. It's like, and no one batted an eye. Mm-hmm. Maybe no one would care. Maybe it would just be like a little moment on the internet.
The Courtney storyline, the Dolce & Gabbana fight, which like felt pretty, was like this, no. We don't know what it felt like. We don't know if it was real, a revelation of some real like rupture in the fabric of the family, or if it was a stage thing, that alone. But the fact that in that fight was Courtney being like, why are you doing it? Why are you doing all this? She just wants power. They have someone in the family saying that it's about power.
Right.
But I guess it's up to Kim herself to say. And yeah, maybe it would be nothing.
I don't know if they'll ever say it though, because it's just like Kris Jenner's masterclass that one time. It's like, obviously she's not going to actually give you a peek behind the curtain. Like, they do it in these like interesting, yeah, they're doing it more and more. Well, I don't know.
And Kim is a politician at heart. And so if she wants that option, and I'm not here to, like, I'm always being careful of this. I'm not here to say Kim will run for president. But what I'm very much willing to say is I think they want to keep that avenue open and see if these choices lead them to it. And she can't. She can't be on record being like, I'm chasing power if she wants to be, you know, get the American vote, you know? Or does she? I don't know. I mean, Trump was literally like, I thought it'd be fun. And that worked. So who knows?
There's like an ugliness associated with power, maybe across the board. Mm-hmm. And to admit that you have it, or to name that you want it.
It's very Voldemort.
Well, it kind of makes you into a villain then.
Yeah.
So it's easier to be like, I want to learn new things. Mm-hmm. It's like power. That's the thing about power. It's slippery.
Foucault, anyone?
But it's true. Like, it can be packaged, repackaged. It can be taken away. It can be given out. It can be, you know what I mean? So it's like, it doesn't actually mean much or do much to like say that. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think the reason it's hard to pinpoint right now is because it's like any of these existential concepts, they're hard to grasp at a certain point. They're hard to like take with your hands and look at.
Love, death. Power, yes.
Life itself, existence, like all that shit, you can think about it forever and ever, but then you're going to get confused at a certain point.
Which is the purpose of myth. Is that what you're going to say?
Well, I was going to say that power doesn't actually mean anything unless it's mapped onto something. I think that's why when you reduce it to power, it is the so what, but it's also not anything unless it's attached to a system or a dynamic. It's relational.
Its existence is contingent on affecting or something. Mm-hmm. That is also the function of myth making, to compress these big ideas and teach us things about power, love, or death, basically.
Literally.
Wow. So
let's talk about the fact that David Lynch's daughter, what's her name?
Jennifer Lynch.
Jennifer Lynch directed this episode, the episode of American Horror Story we see on the show.
I was wondering if they chose that one to do BTS for Kim because it was directed. I mean, they chose to include it in the precious time on the show when they are really giving us canned introductions to their scenes or canned takeaways. The fact that like two sentences were given to, it was directed by Jennifer Lynch. She's the daughter of a big director, David, who's amazing, or whatever she said about David Lynch.
Amazing.
Felt significant. I think it's just another little nugget of like showing like how relational media making is, nepotism, proximity to David Lynch. This is the first time there's been direct proximity between the Kardashians and David Lynch that I wasn't the one making.
That's,
you know,
so
what I mean?
True. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, we could look back and look at the director who directed all the episodes. Maybe it's just the most notable. Yeah. With the most proximity to kind of legitimate filmmaking.
Yes, exactly. And Jennifer Lynch is an interesting case study because she, you know, wanted to be a director. She was at 19, she made a movie that people hated. It was like a body horror movie called Boxing Helena or Unboxing Helena. I think Boxing Helena. I think not Unboxing.
That's very, it seems very modern.
Yeah, it seems very Kardashian-ified. And it did so terribly. It was made fun of. It was like almost iconically a fail. And it's so sad because she was so young. She was like, you know, probably trying to follow in her dad's footsteps. And that's already so precarious for a woman to do. Jennifer Lynch is an interesting story contrasted to the Kardashians and their story of like following in their dad's footsteps, but more doing it bigger, more epically. What would he think? And like the fact that like, because he was kind of martyred in this like way in their myth, like they had the freedom to not be in their his shadow, though. They did their own. So it's beyond the thrill of like Lynchian vibes meets Kardashian vibes, like for us. It's an interesting
episode.
Yeah, it's a good encounter.
Oh yeah, no, and then yeah, finally Cheyenne, one of my best friends in the whole wide world, deserves credit because me and Michelle always talk about how we think Kim is being queued up to be the next Kris Jenner, but she's always said, I think it's going to be Khloé. And sure enough, when Khloé and Kris visit the Good American brick and mortar, Khloé says, I can't wait to be Kris Jenner one day.
So Cheyenne's reasoning was sort of like, Kim is going to perhaps play more of like a postmodern Robert Senior role.
Right.
And Cheyenne's idea was like, as you can see, Khloé kind of being like almost like the family manager in that way.
Kim might just like completely go off and do her own thing. And then maybe Khloé will be the new Kris Jenner, ushering in the new generations.
Right. Well, Khloé is more dynamic and connected to everybody. I do think it's true that Kim and Kourtney don't really hang out that much. So Khloé is plugged in with each and every one, and she's connected to all the kids clearly. And so it would be kind of like Kim's president, but Khloé's like Kris, which is
right.
We're going to one day want to look back and like really study the way they breadcrumbed the departure of Kris, which is still many years away, I think, but they have to start now. And that's where they're really savvy, is starting things way, way in advance. I was even thinking about the fact that this quick shout out to Khloé's storyline in this episode, which was that she opened her Good American store at, it was it Century, like some iconic mall in LA.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like, damn, like we know all of their brands as e-commerce. That's how they really started. And on one hand, all these brands grew very quickly for any brand, especially Skims. But on the other hand, they didn't jump in being like, we want to open retail stores. Like, here's a Kardashian retail store and this mall coming to you soon. It's been like, you like us? Cool. Buy it online. You're mostly buying shit online anyway, guys. And then they really, like, I think, slow drip the openings of like brick and mortar.
Which is funny because they started with brick and mortar with Dash.
With Dash, and yeah, they tested it in Vegas. They had that Kardashian chaos in Vegas in like 2011 or something. But then I think they were savvy to not push it and to like accept the state of business today, which is online.
Yeah. And then I would say actually the NPC of the episode were probably all of the Good American.
The Good American girlies.
Yes, maybe.
Or Simon being scared at Courtney's gender reveal.
Just always Simon being scared.
Branding himself as a gunkle, being like, okay, that's my thing. I mean, he took a risk saying basically that Penelope's his favorite. It's like, when you're in the yes man position, you don't specify preference. So, wow, like he went for it. That, you know what? That does make him NPC of the episode.
Yeah, Simon's the NPC of the episode. He went for it.
Yeah, or Jennifer Lynch, I guess, but not really an NPC because she was contributing to image production.
Right. Yeah, Simon. I mean, that's perfect for the finale episode. It's Simon.
Right.
It's always been Simon.
Right. Oh, one more final thing I'll say. Because they're doing their remarks at the end of the season. Like, Kendall had a bad year, Kylie had a good year, blah, blah, blah. And then they ask him about her singleness. And she's like, I'm good being single and just working. And I found this to be interesting because I think it brings us back to all the analyses that surrounded the Pete Davidson relationship. And it's so true, like whether that was real or fake or whatever the fuck that was, coming out of a marriage, Kim needed a rebound. She needed one safe, like with a boyish guy like Pete that like would keep her looking young and current. I mean, they made sure that Kris had Corey quite quickly after her divorce from Caitlyn. Like, that is a strategy they do of, like, a good rebound to give it a soft landing. There's something that they protect against in terms of how women are viewed with in relation to men and the need for men for their images. And now I think they feel that they've buffered her well enough. I bet they're going to let her be single for a while and be the girl boss that she had to, like, kind of cushion herself to be.
Right.
Now she gets to be it.
They also, like, I remember they drilled into our head. She's like, I want to try to stay single for 2 years. And then the producer's like, so it's been a year. How are you feeling? So now we have this, like, timeline of, like, okay, one more year.
It buys her that time. I really kind of think that probably Kim's not looking really for, like, I think she probably wants to get to just work.
Yeah. Somebody at a party the other night was asking, like, something about rumors that, like, Kim's asexual. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's – I've never heard that. But I will say at this point, there's probably something, some kind of approximation of asexuality within her. Like, how – when your body is everyone else's, what does that do to your own sexuality?
Yes. Well, and sexuality is so – I mean, we're talking theoretically right now, not, like, in a real psychoanalytic way. But sexuality and the formation of, like, an intersexual life is so much about playing with the boundaries between the private and the public. And, like, who you are inside, who you are deep, deep down inside, what you, how you're moving through the world. Again, like, what the thresholds are of, like, the inner self, the outer self, the presentation of identity, all these things. And so I think you can, like, go two ways, become really.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Really kinky in your mind,
right?
Or kind of like numb it out, or like kind of like be emptied of it and not really have much left of that vitality or that, like, those anxieties and tensions required to, like, basically have a sexuality and, like, get off. And, like,
because
you need tension, you need containment sometimes in certain ways. And it's all, like, public now. At the same time, I also think sometimes when you are, like, a workaholic or you're getting some sort of satisfaction from, like, driving your vitality in one direction, that, like, sexuality kind of drains, because it's just, like, your aggression, your desire, your grit, it's going towards, like, you're getting release out of the, like, successes.
Right.
In this framework, I'm not going to parasocially speculate, but in this framework of what happens to sexuality in the context of, like, a completely public life and a workaholic life, it would track that maybe someone would disconnect from their need for a partner or their drive for sexuality, whether that's healthy or not.
Right.
Was that, like, a diplomatic way to say it?
Yeah. And on that note, if
I don't see you,
you can finish the rest.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
It's been great, you guys. And I know we ruffle some feathers doing this shit, but.
But that's what you're going to get when you're talking about the crazy Kardashians. Am I right?
For sure.
We'll see when, probably sooner than we necessarily are ready for. They're gonna come back with season, what the fuck, 5?
Yeah, which is technically the last season in this installment of the Hulu show, right?
Yes, but they announced at some point in the big soup of it all that they are, like, we just signed on for more, like, an extra season and a half or something. And so I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's gonna be like there's going to be season 6.5 after 5 or what, but I mean, this is not ever going to end. I mean, that's how it ends. It ends with Kris Jenner being like, oh, there's more of us to come.
Okay, well, on that note, goodbye, everybody. We'll see you whenever they start up again.
Yeah, that's right.